It's a continuation.
Yes.
Yeah, it's ready.
The Morel has just given back to me the first of our long and important series, and that's what I'm working on now. I've already edited most of it and checked most of it. And we, by the way, have had several helps. And Monell himself has gone to England on one occasion for more than 2 weeks. And another colleague was over there last year checking certain of the things in the Admiralty for me, but we could only expect a very few of the things. That wasn't very much, but he is helping us now. But Monell teaches at Mesa College, and he doesn't have all the time. After all, it takes time to teach. He's been teaching for quite some time on it. I don't know when it is, but we're hoping to have it done within a year. I hope so. We have yet to find a publisher. I'm trying to get about, I should say, a fifth of it in such a shape as to submit it to, in advance, to see whether we can't get some support for publication. And I have in mind, since this is not a commercial undertaking, because this we're doing it for scholars.
Right.
This is purely research into it and scientific nature, then maybe the university press here will have something to do with it. And maybe we can get some subsidy for it, not from the university, but get some subsidy for it. I don't know. I don't know, but I hope it is, and I think it'll be a very fundamental thing. It's a very large thing, and we're trying to make it as serviceable as can be, even though it's been hurting my feelings in that we're trying to cut out duplications, which are really, they are duplication because they appear in various enclosures and
all
so
kinds
on.
Of places.
We're cutting them out. But we hope to have it, and we have hope to have a complete calendar of the listings of by writers of letters and documents and office memos and so on, which will take up a lot of it for, and then we'll have a subject index to it, I think. But we're not going to write a story form of it, mm-hmm. just explain what's in, how you go about it,
mm-hmm.
to go work in the archives and so on.
Would you be hoping to put out a feeler through an article in a journal or something like that?
Oh, that I took care of quite some time ago.
Oh.
If you look over the list of my publications, I knew what I was doing when I was collecting materials that other time in long in advance. Hence, you will find that I have an article on the establishment of the British consulate, on the establishment of the, well, the French, of course, I have it, many articles, but on the Chilean consul, too, because that's, now, my original idea when I first started out was to get an edit the consular correspondence. That's still the chief element, but not the only element in our calendar. The California is the keynote in this one here, but my original one was that. Now, we've done something more than that. In order to cover up this idea of the story of the British in California, I've taken advantage of our work and our editing on it to put out several other articles on it. One is on the the preliminaries to the establishment of the British consulate in California. And another one, which is going to make a splash, I think, is the full correspondence of reactions of the British Navy, Admiral Seymour chiefly, to the Americans having outwitted them and got in ahead of them to get California. This will appear in the Brand book, the next Brand book of the San Diego Corral of the Westerners, which will be out in February this year. I'd hope it out earlier. In addition to the, I hope I live long enough to complete this, and also the Chileans. I've already told you that I collected, and I have the complete materials. I still hope to get somebody to do it. It's an open sesame to anybody, and I'm perfectly willing to help them out in it. I don't think I'll ever get back, maybe I will, and get back to that last unfinished chapter of my borderlands. Northeastern frontier. It's all there. I doubt if I'll ever do it. I may try to get somebody to do it. But with regard to the California things, if I live long enough, they will come.
They will be.
I hope.
Done.
I hope. I'm getting back after I get this English out of my way. Probably I'll arrange the French before I go into the Chile. But I have it all. And that's the status that I have now.
Who's editing the Brand book? Who's the editor? Don't they select one each time?
Yeah, this one is Horace Dodd.
Mm-hmm. What's the theme of this book?
They gave out the table of contents.
Oh, that's all right.
And the thing at our annual ladies' night just before I left San Francisco last week, or
right.
2 weeks ago, I guess it is. And I got a couple of them. I'm sorry what I edited one. I think I mentioned that to you.
I don't know if you did or not.
Did you?
No.
Didn't I ever put that down list on my books? If not, you bet. Brand book number 3 was the one I did.
I'll have to check through that.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think I did that. I just got an interesting thing that came to me. Just a couple of weeks ago, they begged me to appear at the 60th conference of the Phi Alpha Theta. Oh, did I mention that to you?
Just that you were going to go.
Oh, that's it. I hope to go to that. And I also was asked to write an introduction to a small book being put out of Taos in a field that's just a little bit of what I really originally started out in. That was the later fur trade activities of the Americans, in that they wanted to reprint it appeared as a very long article, but it's going to be in a book form of, George Bird Grinnell, called The Builder of Fort Benton's Builders. And they want me to write the introduction to that publication, which I agreed to do if I can just simply give the story of Grinnell, who was one of the foremost ornithologists, Indian heads of all. I grew up with some of his works, although he's dead now and ahead of me. Oh, yes. I haven't received the final reply on that. They begged me and they wanted me to. But I asked them, they didn't tell me the length or anything like that. And I told them I would spend a week in the Bancroft Library before going to St. Louis in a couple of weeks, mm-hmm. Doing that for them. Those are the major projects that I have at the present time,
right now.
And that runs around them. I still always have hopes that we're doing of finishing those that I haven't done yet. I've been working off and on helping the publication of the Upper Mississippi one that Lawtonville started out, but unfortunately, frankly, I'm afraid to even ask him. I don't know whether his wife is alive and that he hasn't gone blind or not. I really don't know. I'll send him a Christmas card.
Perhaps that,
but I'm a little bit afraid to add the missus to it. I think you'll understand. I do not want to rewrite that, although I have been rechecking my materials, adding the new materials that come out, of which there are two or three things that have come out, and I spent a good deal of this last summer doing that, rearranging a good part of it. I still have the last three chapters of that to do, which I will do. That's what I have been doing. And I'll do when I find time off my list. Right now, my project is on
the British.
Bridge, yeah. Yes.
Well, I thought maybe then to finish up, I'm calling this series of tapes an autobiographical summary, if you're in agreement with calling it that. And we talked a little bit about finishing it up with some just philosophical questions.
Oh, anything you want to ask, I'll try to answer it.
Okay.
Insofar as I can.
And a flat out no is fine too. Mm-hmm. But I'll try a few of them out on you. And I did look over some of the publications I didn't have time to get around to. And I noticed that it seems to me you've always been an advocate of doing research on local history, and I noted that in the earliest article that was a 1957, the Conference of California Historical Societies, that turned into an article on local research. And I think because it's more of a fad now, I think, than it ever was, or an interest.
Well, here it is, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so my question was going to be, do you think that people respond to history differently today than they had in earlier years, as in the time you were writing this first article? And then I thought, in light of Roots and the U.S. Bicentennial, did you feel there's a new awareness for history?
Well, the two questions are quite considerably different. That was not in my earliest days of that. That arose out of a talk that I had to give the California Historical Societies, and it originated out of a talk on local history that I gave on the local jewelry history, which had for the Southern California Jewish Historical Group. It's a group that Justin Turner had, and I was very interested in that. That's where it really began, although I talked about it for Jewish things. That started it. I revised it because I was on the board of the San Diego Historical Society and was working in that. And then when I attended and they wanted me on the program of the California Historical Societies, I really rewrote it into a general idea of it and gave it when they were down here. I think it was that conference was over at the Hotel Coronado. That has been published by them, and I got a little bit more interested and published that other article on that in the San Diego Historical Journal. Opportunities for research in it. But I've always been interested in local history, and more particularly, that came I think because we here were just beginning, well, we were given the master's degree, and we had to have primary materials, which is the research idea, and we could have a better chance on local materials. That's one of the major reasons I did this itself. So that there are many reasons for it. Sister, I think I told that
McShane.
Before. McShane always prided me on that little article there, which she used in her historical methods class into there, which I just put together out of standard materials and reducing them down to what I thought was important for local historians. And I was looking more at amateurs than at precise when I made that those articles.
The opportunities,
on local research. I was really interested in that, and also in interesting people there and in looking in their attics or preserving materials, which I was very conscious of during most of the time. Oh, there is no question of the broadening of the purpose and interesting of more people in the bicentennial, and also by our own local historical society in local history, on the amateur side. There's no question there's a lot of them. And since that time, there've been the movement for local historical societies and preservation has grown tremendously. It's this new Congress of History, for example, which is a county idea of the state idea,
right?
And which is all the branches of the Association of State Historical Societies in there. Oh yes, those are things that I've always been interested in.
Do you have a feeling this is a fad, or do you think people will truly hold their interest?
Oh, there's no question about it. Genealogy has come back into a lot of it, which it used to be the only thing, but now it's just one of several ideas behind it. Of course, that's amateurs, and there is a difference from a professional historian. But my idea of the late historians, professional historians, is considerably different from what they were before. They are not the scholars of the primary thing. And the computer has changed considerably the thing. The interest is completely interested in it. And the lack of a language has almost killed the research for quite some time. I believe the turning point is just about ready.
To go back?
Oh, yes, I think so. I think so, and I have great hopes in that.
In fact, I was going to ask you, one of my questions was about language, and you know how important it was to your lifetime work. And
got to. That's important to have something in behind you. Yeah, I think I explained to you before that although they've changed the system around, and maybe that has a better idea than mine. We used to have several people. For example, one of my medievalists was a tremendous man in languages, and this French, especially German and Latin. Well, he needed it. Professor Morris in the English history was a tremendous linguist in Latin. But the ancient historian that I had, Van Astrin, knew seven languages and could handle himself in seven languages. But I don't think he was as thorough in them as the others. And what's happened has been that Professor Palm was very heavy in French, could hardly did the German, although I'm sure he passed his German test before he ever got it, because he was in French history. It's the idea of being trained well in one language, at least, and an acquaintance with the other. Now, I adopted the principle because I was never really trained in any language. I just had to pick it up because of my own work would come into it. The closest was, of course, Spanish, which I was had a good deal of training in. But I found that out here. But they changed the system. In history, overall history research, there is no question in anybody's mind that it's a reading knowledge of French and German. But there's no question about it that you don't need it anymore, except those who are in European history. They do. Mm-hmm. A medievalist needs Latin, and an ancient historian needs Greek and some others. A Spanish-American historian needs Spanish. Mm-hmm. And now they're having that, given Spanish and Portuguese or two Romantic languages. These are tools. You can't do research without a tool. And although people always say that you don't need it if you're in American history, that in itself is a misnomer. Not for entire research, but it's a misnomer for historical research. Because when you train a man, you don't train him in his thesis. I think I've said that before. You train him in history. But they've forgotten that. And now they're just training them in so that anybody that came, when we had to have instructors in a hurry after the wars, they came in here and want to teach their thesis and nothing else but. Well, we've had several things, and I myself have reversed one of the theses on account of facts. I've always believed that the freshman introductory course, survey course, should be given by the greatest and most experienced teacher in history in the field. Not by a youngster who always comes in here, because the youngster knows his small little field. Not the general, because in the general you must pick and choose. I don't care what anyone calls it, not a bias, but I mean for interpretive purposes. I've always believed that. Give the young PhDs junior and senior courses, they can take it, not the freshmen.
Yeah, there they can specialize.
And they're also, the freshman is more open to think that his teacher is the angels himself, rather than when they're in the upper division. And therefore, interpretation means a lot. That's why it requires it. Now, but that's not the way most of them do. In some universities they do, but not in most of us, because I was brought down, as I told you, to teach two general freshman courses. Well, the one I happened to develop from Binnen for so long that it didn't make too much difference. But I myself know from my own experience, and I think I told it to you before, I had no business giving a survey course in English history. I could have done it in Elizabethan history, and I could have done it in my political science, because that's what I was trained in. And the overall, that requires a lot of it. And it required a lot of work on my part, but I had to take the standards and work it by experience, which you don't have time in the first years to do. But that's exactly, and all of the people here want to teach the seminar courses because they think the seminar is the easiest of them all. But actually, the seminar is not. Because, you see, you've got to give the individual attention to each one of them outside of class. The actual meeting of the seminar, that's easier. Sure, that's easier. But it's what goes with it. That isn't, and most of the people won't give you the time. I happen to like that more than ever. And incidentally, I think that I have more inquiries from people all over the United States asking me questions now, even more so than when I was in harness. That's happening all the time.
Well, I suppose that like you said, there's less people interested in giving personal attention, and they seek out people that are generous, like yourself.
Well, I don't know. As a matter of fact, that's the thing. The other day, I think it was last Tuesday. Yeah, last Tuesday, not yesterday. I just happened to be in my office because I had to take Miss Natcher someplace, and I did not come over to here because I could only be a couple hours, and so I was doing putting around in my office. I had two long-distance calls, of all things in the world, come right after each other. One was a student of mine, really, who was in the anthropology department, but I knew him, and I was working with him, and I worked, who's now head of the museum at the University of Missouri. And he's got a grant on Guatemalan history, and he called up because he'd been working in Seville asking me for a reference in his field. That was a very interesting situation to me, and I remember and recalled him. Yes, I have that all the time, only not always by phone. And I was trying to think of the one that came in before. I talked for 45 minutes. He was asking me every kind of a question, and I went home and answered him. Coming in from, yes, it is. Well, it's from Lincoln, Nebraska. That was asking me also of my interest in certain fields that he was working on. On a Lewis and Clark thing.
Boy.
Oh, yes. This happens all the time. Not so often that they call up. He happened to be editing a new edition of the original journals and was asking me for samples of where he could get the writing of John Evans. And he knew that I had worked on Evans. And I told him I had to do it into there. But that thing happens all the time. The time after time. I had one call up from New Jersey who couldn't think of my phone number address and had to call St. Louis to find out from somebody. Then he calls up and talks for half an hour from New Jersey because he wanted to get one of my books that was out of print and wanted to know where to get it. These things happen all the time, more by mail than by phone into there. But I try my best to answer everyone that I can, and because I believe in that, and helping everyone that I possibly can. I don't go out of my way and do this or that, and except to help somebody find it. I'm stopped quite often here on the campus every once in a while, though. I'm glad to do it.
How many years were you the graduate student advisor? Do you remember?
I don't remember how many, but for quite a number of years.
Just about from the beginning of the graduate program?
Well, I was even in a sense, yeah, I was a graduate advisor before we gave graduate work.
You told me you would send your students on to different places.
And Leonard would send to me any of the students that had a language and an interest in getting their MAs. And to me, in that sense, I was a graduate advisor for anyone that wanted to go on.
Right.
No, Lewis Leslie was at the very first for about 3 years. But then I was for a good 10, 12 years, I guess, the end of that. That caused some jealousies that I didn't like in the department too at times, because they all thought that I was grabbing them all for my own field, which is not true at all. And I was very happy when we were able to put in more than one seminar. I had to let them prove it.
They have quite a...
Oh, they have quite a few now. They have quite a few, but we had to build up into it.
Okay, I just had a couple more questions, if you feel like answering them. I was going to ask you your opinion. What do you think of the current obsession with the practical training that students want in order to get a job, and how that's... affected the liberal arts? At least it seems that right now the majority of majors are business majors.
Oh, yes, there's no question about it. Well, there are two or three things that you have to really think about there. It comes from my own experience and gone through. There's always been a cycle of interest in students and research and money, and in students in courses in the humanities or in social sciences itself. Into there, that never bothered me when we went down in students or went back, because I always thought they'd come back. And I think the jobs will appear, because right now we used to be able to fill most of our students. There weren't any good in it.